This episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's a Thursday edition of the show, episode 3 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. Louis DiBiase here joining you alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. Gino, what's up, brother? We got a lot to talk about today, but first, before we do that, we were talking about it before the show, couldn't help but laugh, and we got to open the show with this. Jim Schwartz officially stepped down as a defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles after 5 seasons, and I loved that in his farewell letter, in his official statement that was posted by the Philadelphia Eagles social media accounts, he mentioned Nate Geary and Jalen Mills by name in the letter. It's a perfect way for Schwartz to go out, man. He was ride and die for his guys, and Mills and Nate Geary were two of the boys in his stable that no matter how bad they played, they were always out there. So Schwartz, man, he never changed until the very last letter.
He lived as a stubborn son of a gun, and he died as a stubborn son of a gun. And you said it before the show that he's a man who stuck to his morals and never wavered from who he truly was, and that was Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny, though, that I looked and Schwartz finally announced that he was stepping down. Although, let's be honest, he was going to get fired, so it's a mutual thing out of respect that they would word it this way. But it was so funny that of the names he mentioned in the letter, that Nate Geary and Jalen Mills, just guys that no matter how bad they played, they couldn't play their way out of the lineup. But that's how Schwartz was, man. He was a stubborn MF, and he went down that way as well. Coming up on today's edition of the show, though, we do want to start here by talking about the offensive side of the coaching staff, Gino, because Doug Peterson and Jeffrey Lurie had their end-of-the-year meeting on Tuesday, and clearly real change came from that. Rich Scangarello, Marty Morningweg, both stepping down from their positions as offensive assistants, and I thought that was pretty telling of that meeting. Clearly, Doug Peterson talked about how he wants to pick his own coaching staff, right? There needs to be one universal offensive language, right? One voice. He said that was crucial in a press conference a couple weeks ago, and they really didn't have that, right? They had too many cooks in the kitchen, and I think a lot of that was because of Jeffrey Lurie. He was the reason they had 12 offensive assistants, and so he was so enamored with offensive innovation that he brought in so many different guys from different backgrounds. And Scangarello really represents that disconnect, I think, between Doug and Lurie, where that's kind of a forced Kyle Shanahan-like hire by Lurie. Mm-hmm. Marty Morningweg, too, bringing him back. So clearly Doug in that meeting said, look, I want my own offensive coaching staff, and I want it to have the vision of what I want this offense to be. And so I'm sure there was give and take, though. I'm sure Lurie probably told Doug, hey, this could probably be your last chance, but if you want your guys, we're going to make you hire a real true offensive coordinator that maybe takes over some play calling. And like Chip in 2015, it feels like Lurie's going to give Doug that power, at least on his coaching staff, to a very lesser degree than what he gave Chip. You know, he gave Chip the whole front office, but it looks like Lurie's going to be like, okay, we're going to give you the power now, but you know, we're not going to put our hands on this. It's going to be all you, but now there's no excuses if you bomb out again in 2021. That's kind of the vibe I got from all the news that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
Looking at the Marty move especially, like the idea that Jeffrey Lurie is so loyal to people that he trusts, that's one of those guys that you bring back, and that's one of those loyalty hirings, sure. I feel. And that's one of the downfalls of the Eagles, as great as they are as an organization, is they do hang on to guys for too long and bring back players and bring back coaches, and sometimes it comes back to bite them in the rear end. And I think that this one-season experiment with Rich and Marty went exactly how a lot of us had expected, that there would be too many cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And now you're right, Lou. they're giving that power to Doug once again to say, go out and get your guy. We had texted about this a couple hours before the show that Doug should go out there and want to find a guy that has that quarterback mindset, much like Frank Reich and DeFilippo did, not just to help out Doug, but also to get Carson back on track. Because as an organization, if you believe that Carson still is your guy, which they should, you should want to provide him with an environment where he can prosper. And to go out and get a quarterback-centric offensive coordinator and go out there and get somebody from the college ranks, because we have seen what hiring old offensive coordinators in the NFL, Marty Morningwig and Rich Scangarello, what that can do, and you're just recycling bad products. Now go out there and add some innovation and go out there and get a guy who wants to make Carson work. Go out there and find the next Joe Brady. There's tons of them. Just look around the college ranks. They're scoring 50, 60, 70 points in these games. The offensives are continuing to expand, continuing to morph into this modern day, get the athletes in space, get your quarterback into a rhythm. And that's what Carson Wentz needs right now. And right now you have Jalen Reagor. You're going to go out there and get some more young wide receivers, find a way to build relationships with them, and find a way to get your offense to score more than 24 points a game. Because right now, not with Jalen Hurts and not with Carson Wentz, what you had in that building was not getting it done on offense. And it's good to see that they are giving the pressure and the accountability back to Doug Peterson, because it's saying, one, we trust you and you deserve it, but two, if it fails,
it's on you.
This comes back to you.
Yeah, definitely, Gino. I think that's the give and take. I think that's the compromise you can feel from that meeting is, look, it was clear all of those hires and the firing of Mike Groh and Carson Walsh last year, Gino, like, would you agree?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It was Howie and it was Lurie. Doug Peterson wanted to keep those guys, and it really felt like Doug did not have a lot of say in his own offensive coaching staff. And he's the play caller, and he's the one universal voice. And it just felt like, again, there were too many cooks in the kitchen. But not just that, there were too many cooks in the kitchen that didn't see eye to eye on what the philosophy of this offense is going to be. And so clearly Doug told Lurie that in the final meeting, that he needs this coaching staff to be his hand-picked guys, and it needs to have the same vision. That doesn't mean have, you know, diversity and variety in your play calling and in your offense, but they've all got to be on the same page and not have it be forced like it was by Lurie last year. But at the same time, again, like we said, that give and take, Lurie's going to be like, okay, like Chip Kelly, look, Chip, you want control of this front office over Howie. You deserve that after 2-10-6 seasons. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but if it fails, now this is on you. And I think it's the same with Doug Peterson here. Whoever he does decide to name as his offensive coordinator, because according to Jeff McClain, they will hire a true coordinator this offseason. So whoever it's going to be, though, it's on Doug. If this offense fails again, man, it's going to come on Doug. There's no excuses now. There was an excuse in 2020 because I just don't think he had a lot of control, but now he does have that control.
I think it's much deserved, too. And
I agree.
How Chip Kelly, he was given that power too quickly. I think Doug has definitely earned that. And
it's not even
out
the same power. Like, this is a Super Bowl winning coach that just wants to pick his coaching staff. Like, if you can give Chip Kelly the whole front office, this is very reasonable for Doug to want to pick his own guys.
And the evidence shows that when he does, he's been successful.
Yeah,
the first coaching staff he put together, Frank Reich is about to be potentially playing in the second round of the playoffs.
And even DeFilippo, he got two coordinator jobs for.
Which I think he should have been in Minnesota. He got a little scapegoated there, but you're right.
Sure.
Those were some good offensive minds, and there are good offensive minds that can help Carson Wentz as a quarterback, and we can dive more into those names as we get into this offseason and see really what happens at the quarterback position. But I think last year what happened with Groh and Walsh was Jeffrey saw what happened after Frank and DeFilippo left, and he wasn't happy with the two seasons, and I totally get that. And then he wanted to put his hand in there and get those guys in there, and he was trying to force that square peg into a round hole, and I think you saw it from week one, Lou, how evident it was that this offense just had no idea what it was when you're going out there against Washington, and literally every single play is just a deep throw, and you just don't check it down or don't have any intermediate routes to keep your team on the field, and you couldn't get it going in the previous two seasons until week 8 and 9. it was evident that something had to change. And now that you're wiping the slate clean, it is time to really find out who you are as a football team again on offense and get that identity. And a lot of the players have been echoing that, that they've been saying that they need to find who they are as an offense. And I believe the organization and the coaching staff believes that too. And sometimes to go forward, you have to go backwards. So getting rid of a few coaches that didn't mesh with Doug, if that's the move that had to be made, I totally agree. And I don't think you and I disagree with the move of letting Marty and Scangarello go this year.
100%. Coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, me and Gino, we're going to get back into the quarterback position as we normally do. But it's, look, it's a big offseason for the Eagles when it comes to quarterback, with Carson Wentz, with Jalen Hurts, with that sixth overall draft pick. There's a lot to figure out. And there was an interesting report I want to get into from yesterday that Howie Roseman actually talked to Zach Ertz about how to maybe convince Carson Wentz to stay and not want to trade in place out of Philadelphia. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Guys, today's edition of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by betonline.ag. We've got the NFL playoffs this weekend. Wild card weekend kicks off, and it's kind of a super wild card weekend because you've got an extra game with seven teams making the playoffs now in the AFC and NFC. There's only one place that's got you covered for your NFL bets and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. Right now, a look at the betonline.ag lines. I really like the Baltimore Ravens at -3.5. I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are going on a deep playoff run. So that's the big one that I'm going to hammer on Sunday. But you can get them all going on betonline.ag with the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Thursday edition of LOE. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri. Gino, not sure if you saw this, but there was a report yesterday that Howie Roseman is talking to Zach Ertz about how to convince Carson Wentz to stay in Philadelphia and not want a trade, which maybe shows just how serious they are about Wentz wanting to fix Wentz, but it also might show just how serious Wentz is about maybe wanting out. I want to use this analogy. It looks like, and I was joking with some of our listeners on Twitter yesterday about this, Howie looks like the boyfriend that got caught cheating and is trying to get his girl's friends to help him out. Like, tell her I miss her. The grass wasn't greener with Jalen Hurts. But it's hard to feel bad for him because, like that boyfriend, man, they kind of caused this mess. Howie by drafting Hurts, Doug by benching Wentz, and you know, Wentz kind of feels like the scapegoat. But I thought it was interesting that that kind of shows the Eagles' real commitment to Wentz in 2021, but also that Wentz might be really serious about mulling his options.
Like I said yesterday or 2 days ago, that Carson Wentz is at the car dealership right now, Lou, and they're trying to figure it out. Like, Howie Roseman went back to the manager who happened to be a friend of this guy.
Yeah, what can
school,
I do for this,
like,
guy?
Yeah, what can I do? What is he like? What kind of gift certificates can I buy him? Right. Where can I take him out to dinner? You know, like stuff like that. And
can we get him heated seats if we're going to keep the price this way? You know,
the thing is, though, Lou, is that one thing that we talk about on this show a lot is the idea of accountability. Mm-hmm. And I think Howie, out of everybody in that triangle that we had talked about between quarterback, head coach, and GM, in these past few days alone, has owned up to his mistakes more than anybody. And I think that's huge for him. I think that's huge for this organization, that Howie knows that he has a short leash as well, and people weren't happy with some of the decisions that he made. And I think it's well known, and I think he knows it. And the best step forward is through acceptance, and he accepted that he made some mistakes. So to go to Zach Ertz, one, shows to me that he kind of knows that he made a mistake. And two, it shows that you're right, Lou, that they are committed to getting Carson back in the building and making him the guy, which is huge for everything that we've heard about all this hoopla outside the building. If you listen to the people close to the situation in Philadelphia and a lot of the local beat writers, they're telling you the complete opposite, that they're trying to work on it. They're trying to give Carson that time away. They're trying to do things like talking to his friends and Zach Ertz to figure out ways to get it back on track. Because you're right, Lou, he does look like the ex-boyfriend that came after a little slip up.
Yeah.
But I think it's the right decision, because sometimes the grass isn't always greener. So you have to go back to where the grass is green. And before it's too late and that house is up for sale and Carson Wentz is bought by the Indianapolis Colts or the San Francisco 49ers, you're going to give it a little TLC and you're going to give it a little fix up and you're going to say, okay, what can we do to make this better? Okay, Carson, what do you want at six? What do you want at six? Do you want a wide receiver? Or do you want Kyle Pitts? If we can't keep Zach Ertz, do you want a replacement?
We'll do you want us Pitts. To find that secret money for Allen Robinson this offseason? Right, do you want us to trade for Odell Beckham? Yes. What do you want, Carson?
They're in the car dealership, and they're finding every single way to keep him in the building.
Despite having the leverage, right? Like, wouldn't you agree? The Eagles contractually have all the leverage, but it feels like Wentz really has the leverage here just based on how badly it sounds like the Eagles want to make this work and how reserved Wentz might be about that plan still. And again, the real report that I trust is that Wentz doesn't want it to end in a divorce yet, but he is weighing his options. They're going to have to convince him. And me and you talked about yesterday, what does that take? Does it mean giving Wentz a receiver sixth overall? Does it mean breaking the bank on a guy like Allen Robinson or Odell Beckham? Or is it trading Jalen Hurts? What if it takes Doug Peterson not being the play caller? It'll be really interesting to see what Carson's demands are and how far the Eagles are willing to go for him. Because at the same time, it's not like this is Wentz from 2019 demanding a trade. This is a guy that totally collapsed. And because a lot of it was because of the team and their downfalls. But at the same time, this is a guy that did collapse in 2020. So it'll be interesting to see how much leverage they allow him to have. This is very similar to like in the NBA, man, where players have most of the power. LeBron James really started that. And it feels like that despite the team having leverage contractually, that Wentz is really driving right now. He's in the driver's seat.
It kind of feels like the whole James Harden situation in Houston, definitely. If you think about it, because it goes so much more than just getting traded from a football team. Like, Wentz is invested in the city of Philadelphia, he has his food truck there, he has his organization there, his family is there. It goes so much more beyond it than that. It goes to the point of, what can I give my star player, much like James Harden has wanted in Houston, to make them get to the next level? And I think Wentz is at that same level. And to the degree that you said that the Eagles do have that leverage, you're right, Lou. It's kind of, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's either one, you don't want to stay with us, and we have to figure out a way to get as much value in return. And that's going to take you renegotiating your contract, because currently there's no way you could trade this contract. No. It just, nobody's going to take it on. The Eagles aren't going to take that dead cap, especially in a year where they don't have enough money to even get to the salary cap before March 11th. So, I mean, there's so many things that you're going to have to take into play. But when it comes down to it, Carson also has the leverage to say, if you want me to stay, I'm not going to let you pass up on another Stephon Diggs. I'm not going to let you pass up on another DeAndre Hopkins. I need what I want to succeed, because you know what? Everybody's going to talk bad about me. But if I have weapons...
Well, they already are. So I might as well. They already have been. So I might as well get what I want.
Exactly. Or I get out. You know what I mean? That's the kind of situation we're in right now. And for you and I, Lou, I believe it's a good place to be, because if you're hearing these reports that they want to do things for Wentz and you want to leverage his ability to play better, they should be doing everything that we have talked about for years, getting him the weapons, solidifying your offense.
Well, it's not like they haven't tried. They're just failing at it every time they try.
Right. But they're going to they're going to take as many swings as possible. They're going to be home run hitters now, Lou. They're not going to be looking for singles and doubles. They're going to be looking to hit it out of the park. They're not looking for solid to good players, not guys that can just come in and get you 600 yards receiving. They want a guy that could be at the top of the league for receptions, a guy that can be the Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen.
That's why you tank that game, man, week 17. That's the difference of Jamar Chase and Devonta Smith or that second tier.
Totally agree, and you're never going to shy me away from drafting a playmaking receiver when you already had drafted one the year before. And not just one, Lou, Quez Watkins showed promise. John Hightower, when he was in the games, showed promise. Even Greg Ward, as much as you and I aren't the biggest fan of him, he'll still be a solid receiver on this team moving forward. So they're going to have guys, but now it's, where can we really excel? Because we're not going to beat Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and if they can keep Michael Gallup 35 to 33, like, we can't, like, not with this team. We need more firepower, and Carson Wentz should want that, because he should be saying, you saw what I did in 2017. I put up 11 points, or I put up 30 points 11 times. So why would you not want to give me everything I can, and now better? Give me an upgrade over Torrey Smith. Give me an upgrade over Alshon Jeffrey. Give me the next tier. Because right now, if I'm not playing to my degree, I need players that can up our game around us. And it can't always fall on the quarterback, as much as people want to believe that. Look at the game against the Bills for Arizona a couple weeks ago, Lou. That all came down to DeAndre Hopkins being the best player on the football field. And simply as that, passing is the most efficient way to score in the National Football League. So to have a good quarterback and a good wide receiver is the combo. We are yet to get that combo. But if you and I and everybody in Philly believes that Wentz is the guy, get him his guy at six. It should be no ifs, ands, or buts what that selection is at six.
I agree, man. We'll continue to get into this coming up next. We got to hit one more break. This is Locked On Eagles. Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. Guys, it's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar with some incredible, unique flavors. 18 amazing ones. We've got 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My favorite is peanut butter. I also am a big orange chocolate kind of guy. I know that might be weird for some of you, but those are my go-to from the OG flavors. They're a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. 19 grams of protein in every bar and only 180 calories. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, everybody, welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri wrapping up episode 3 this week of 5. Download it into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. Gino, we talked about in segment 2 how Howie Roseman looks like that guilty boyfriend that got caught cheating with Jalen Hurts. Carson Wentz caught him, and now he's going to demand the world to make him stay in Philadelphia. And Howie is talking to his friends. He's talking to Zach Ertz about how to convince Carson that he does not want a trade out of Philadelphia. They're really going to have to this triangle, this head coach, quarterback, GM triangle. They got to figure this out this offseason. Jeffrey Lurie is going to have to lock these three in a room and make them work it out. They cannot come out until they figure this out. And it'll be really interesting to hear like what each guy would say, right? I mean, we talked about in segment 2, Carson Wentz. He's going to point to a lot of the same things that we point to about Howie Roseman, about how he drafted Jalen Hurts and how the Jalen Reagor pick hasn't worked and the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pick and how much Wentz is elevated that Howie has not been able to build around him, and then how he got scapegoated by Doug. So we know a lot of the talking points for Wentz and, you know, his disagreements with Howie Roseman's ways and Doug Peterson's, but and even Doug Peterson too. Like, Doug's going to point to Howie being kind of power hungry and having his hands on who plays and who the coaches are. He'll point to Howie failing to get him a talented roster, just like Carson Wentz will. And he'll even point to Wentz, I'm sure, not always playing within his offense and maybe not trusting Doug as a play caller. The one guy I'm interested, like, if these three get locked in a room, what will Howie Roseman say? Like, what are his issues with Doug and Carson? Because I think Doug and Carson have real weighted concerns about the others. But Howie, I wonder, like, if these guys do get locked in a room and they have to work this out, what would Roseman say? I mean, I don't know. It's interesting.
He had addressed that in his press conferences, Lou, and sure. I think he said that he knows that he hadn't hit on a lot of those picks, and that quarterback factory comment, regretting to say that as well, is big of him and is big of a GM, because a lot of guys, if you look at Jerry Jones, who runs his team, will scapegoat around a lot of those questions a lot of the time. And Howie Roseman, I think he hit it right on the head, and I believe he'll say exactly what you and I say, Lou. Okay, I messed up with a few picks, for sure. What picks do you want? That idea of where you can go out with Carson and have him throw to guys in the draft and see how he likes them. That idea that he did that a few years ago, which ended up getting them Mac Hollins for some.
I was
going
to say, Wentz was throwing to Cooper Kupp and how he drafted Mac Hollins.
Crazy to me, crazy. But that same idea, Lou, it has to be what Carson wants. It's not what Howie wants anymore. And especially if it's Carson
and what the
Wentz
scouts want too, Gino. It's not just listening to Wentz. Like, it's listening to Doug and listening to his scouts who wanted Justin Jefferson over Jalen. I mean, I wanted Jalen Reagor and Howie did too, and the coaches, but the scouts said Justin Jefferson was the guy. The one thing I've never had an issue with Howie is that he is willing to change his philosophies and he is willing to listen to other people. The problem is, when it comes down to the final say, though, I feel like that's when he kind of changes his mind a lot and really rides with what he is thinking.
Totally, and I believe bringing in John Dorsey too puts a lot of pressure on him as well, because it's like, okay, we have this guy here who has experience in drafting, has done a pretty good job at it. clearly made it known that he wants to get his name back in the general manager pool. So Howie, much like we do for Doug, we're putting you on a short leash too. Much like we did for Carson last year, we put him on a short leash too. It's time for Howie to have that short leash, and I think he knows it, Lou. What he has said the last 2 days, or the last time he has talked, is completely different from what we have heard in the last few seasons. I think you have heard a more down-to-earth Howie. Not this like arrogant type Howie that we've
humble
seen in the
for
past.
Sure. Yeah, he's not saying stupid stuff like the quarterback factory. Yeah,
totally. I think he knows that the pressure is on, Lou. I really do. And I think all of these gentlemen should. And Jeffrey Lurie, we've said it time and time again, isn't an owner who deals with losing very well. He does not want to be picking in the top 10. And frankly, I believe that if Howie messes this pick up, it's over for him. So it's do or die for a lot of individuals, not just guys on the 53, but in the front office, in the coaching staff. We've seen the turnover in the last 3 years, Lou. And if things continue to go awry, I mean, it's only a matter of time before Howie is gone. And I think for once he is humbled and he realizes that this is it, that I'm invested in Carson Wentz. I put all this time getting up to draft him, all this guaranteed money to go out there and pay him. I kept Doug around. A lot of these decisions were my fault. So when it all comes back to it, I finally think this organization has realized that Howie isn't this god that they have made him out to be. And that's the situation you want him to be in, Lou. You want him to double check and triple check.
He needs a fire on his ass, Gino. He got too cocky. He got too comfortable. And that's why 100%. When you're comfortable, you take a backup quarterback in the second round. He was too comfortable.
For sure. We were talking about like them drafting for the future. It's like he forgot about the present to a degree.
Yes, he
did. That ended up hurting him a lot. And right now, the present is the only future for Howie, because he's going to have no future if this present draft period is bad. And frankly, we're going to have the next 4 months to figure out if Howie is the guy. And you have 7, probably going to be 9 picks when it's all said and done with the comp picks, and probably a few more by the time you trade guys away, because we know this youth movement is coming. So Howie has to have as many swings of the bat as possible, because Lou, when you're picking 6 picks and 6 picks and 5 picks, you're never going to get over that hump of having solid talent, because I mean, how many guys are even on the roster from a few draft classes ago? He
not
needs
a lot.
That many at bats, especially when he has his track record. But I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Howie, from the last time I saw him to if you were to go back last draft period or even the year before that, or even right when he came out when Chip Kelly was gone, he's much more humbled than he was. And I'm not going to give him a pass for any of his mistakes, any of his missed draft classes, but now is the time that he dots all his I's and crosses all his T's and double checks and triple checks and quadruple checks to make sure that he is doing the right thing for this franchise, because he is the next domino to fall for sure.
Yeah, Gino, the last time he was humbled was when he built a Super Bowl roster. So let's hope that he takes that strategy once again and he really builds a better team in 2021, because like you said, his job is riding on it. Carson agrees.
Totally agree. Yeah, he heard you in the background. He said, man, get my man Carson some treats when he throws some touchdown passes, and I want to see him throwing 35, 40 touchdowns. Lou and I frankly think we can get there, because if a youth movement is coming – we know athleticism is coming. We know speed is coming. We know guys that are going to be playmakers and game changers are going to be coming on both sides of the ball. And if you look at the past track record, I believe that the Eagles are going to take a playmaker at number 6. Either if it's a left tackle, if Penei Sewell were to fall to number 6, maybe even a quarterback if they believe that one of those guys is the guy, or most likely a wide receiver. I totally think that's what it comes down to, and it's all about getting Carson Wentz on track, because he's a top 15 talent. You need to do everything in your power to get him to be a top 10 guy, which you and I still believe he can be.
Yeah, the philosophy was never the issue with Howie Roseman. It's just about the results and picking the right player. Like he's been willing to take the receiver. He just keeps taking the wrong one. He's got to take the right one. He's got to know Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, which one's the dude that's going to be the star for Carson Wentz and to fix Carson Wentz? So it's a huge offseason for all these guys, and we'll continue to cover it right here 5 times a week on Locked On Eagles, and they're all downloaded into your phone when you subscribe on any podcast platform, and we're always talking birds after the show as well. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase, L-O-E. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.